Welcome to D&B College. Today we're carving a think break switch up in Ableton Live 12 for jungle leaning old school D&B vibes, and we're doing it the right way, with control, attitude, and a proper sense of phrase. The idea here is simple, but the execution matters a lot. You're not just dropping in a break for flavor, you're reshaping the energy of the track, so it feels like the tune briefly steps into a more broken, more restless, more classic drum culture moment. This usually happens right at a phrase turn, like 4, 8, 16, or 32 bars before a drop, a breakdown, or a second drop variation. That placement is important. Why this works in D&B is because the listener feels the structure, even when the drums are getting chopped and swung. If the switch-up lands on the boundary, it feels intentional. If it lands randomly, it just feels messy. So first, decide the job of the switch-up before you touch the break. Ask yourself one question. Is this a reset? Or is this an escalation? If it's a reset, then the section should breathe. Pull the bass back, leave more space, and let the break own the moment. If it's escalation, you can keep a little bass residue or a tension layer underneath so the pressure keeps building. That choice changes everything about how you arrange and mix the section. Now build the break from one primary source. A real break sample, or a tightly chopped transcription in Simpler, is usually the best starting point. Don't start by adding effects. Start by identifying the hierarchy. Your anchor is the kick and snare. Your support is the ghost notes, hats, and ride fragments. Your detail is the fill material, tail fragments, and little bits of noise. In this style, the snare usually tells the ear where the bar lives. If the snare isn't strong, the whole thing loses its old-school identity. A good first move in Ableton is to chop the break in Simpler slice mode or on the arrangement timeline, then tighten the timing by ear. You do not want every slice locked dead to the grid. You want it to feel human and slightly alive. Ghost notes can sit a touch light for drag and tension. A strong snare can sit a little more forward for impact. Keep the kick fragments more centered so the low end doesn't wobble around. What to listen for here is really important. The break should feel like it walks, not like it clatters. If you hear a lot of movement, but the snare doesn't land with confidence, the groove is failing before you've even started mixing. Before you add tone, lock the groove. Ableton's groove pool can help if your track already has a swing identity, but don't slap a groove on blindly. Compare the break against your existing kick and bass pocket. Jungle and old-school inspired D&B often works best with a slight push-pull, not perfect grid stiffness. And this is where a lot of producers accidentally kill the vibe. They quantize every slice until the break sounds clean, but not alive. Leave some imperfection. That's part of the character. Now let's deal with the low end early, not last. This is one of the biggest reasons switch-ups fall apart. The break may contain low frequency energy that sounds great on its own, but it can absolutely wreck the transition if you leave it unchecked. Put EQ 8 on the break and make a deliberate decision. If your bass is active during the switch-up, high-pass the break harder, often somewhere in the 60 to 120 Hz range depending on the sample. Let the sub own the bottom. If the break's kick is essential, keep it, but control it. Don't let the whole low end stay open just because it feels good in solo. If the bass drops out completely, you can allow a little more body in the break, but still check the return. The moment the drop comes back, the break must not be pretending to be a second bass line. It needs to read as drum energy. And here's a crucial listening check. Play the section in mono. If the low mid suddenly swell or the kick feels hazy, you've got too much width or too much low mid buildup. Trim around 150 to 300 Hz, reduce width on the processed layers, and keep the center image strong. That's how you keep the club translation intact. Once the timing and low end are under control, shape the break with compression. You want it to feel like one performance, not a folder of chopped samples. Use compressor or glue compressor gently. A starting point might be a 2:1 to 4:1 ratio, attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and release somewhere around 50 to 150 milliseconds depending on the groove. Don't flatten the swing. If the break gets too stiff, your attack is probably too fast or the ratio is too hard. If the ghosts disappear, you've gone too far. What to listen for is a stable snare with enough movement still visible in the hats and ghost notes. You want coherence, not a brick. Now for the fun part. Add grit with purpose. A little saturation can make the break feel like it belongs to that dusty, sampler-driven jungle lineage. Saturator in Ableton is perfect for this. Start mild. A few dB of drive is often enough. If the snare needs more edge, soft clip can help. Always level match after saturation so you're judging tone, not loudness. Drum bus can also work, but be careful with the low-end emphasis. Too much boom in a brake-led section can turn your clean arrangement into a low-end mess very quickly. A very effective chain is EQ8 into saturator into glue compressor. Another good option is a sliced brake source into EQ8 into drum bus into compressor. The point is not to destroy the sound. The point is to give it a little scar tissue. That roughness is part of the identity. Now create the actual think moment with phrasing. Don't just loop a busy bar. Build call and response. Let bar 1 state the idea with stronger anchor hits. Let bar 2 answer with more fragmentation, ghost note movement, or a small fill. That little back and forth is what makes the section feel composed instead of accidental. You can even leave a single beat gap before the drop returns. That gap is powerful. It gives the listener a tiny moment of suspension before the impact comes back in. If you're making an 8-bar switch-up, a great move is to gradually increase density in the first half, then open it back up slightly in the final bars so the next drop has room to hit. That final bit of space matters a lot. A lot of producers keep adding more and more, then wonder why the next drop feels smaller. The last bar should point into the next section, not compete with it. At this point, decide whether the break owns the section or shares it with bass. If the break owns it, the bass drops out or becomes very minimal. That gives you maximum old-school drama and the cleanest articulation. If the break shares it with a restrained bass pulse, keep that bass mono, short, filtered, and very disciplined. It should feel like pressure, not like another groove. If your attention keeps drifting to the bass instead of the break, the bass is too expressive for this moment. Then automate with restraint. You do not need chaos. Good automation targets are simple. A little filter movement on the break bus, a reverb throw on the last snare, a quick delay on one hit, or a tiny volume dip before the drop. You can darken the break a bit at the start and open it slightly in the final bars. That creates a tension and release arc without adding more sound sources. Keep it subtle. In this style, the strongest switch-ups feel like production choices, not fireworks. A really useful quality control move is to check the section at 3 different playback levels. Very quiet, normal mix volume, and loud. At low volume, can you still hear the snare hierarchy and the phrase shape? At normal volume, does it feel intentional and not cluttered? At loud volume, does the break start masking the downbeat or shrinking the return? If it only works loud, it's probably too dependent on texture. If it only works quiet, you may have over-edited the detail and lost the impact. This is a great habit. It tells you whether the section actually functions, not just whether it sounds cool in the moment. Another important check: audition the switch-up in context with the previous drum pattern, the bass, and the first bar of the next section. The handoff has to feel clear. The snare should still punch through when the bass returns. The subread entry should not collide with the break kick. The last bar should clearly point into the next section. If the return feels weak, don't keep adding more. Pull back 1 or 2 dB, shorten a few tails, or remove one decorative layer. Often the strongest move is subtraction. A nice advanced workflow tip is to print the best version once it works. Consolidate or resample the edited section, so you can treat it like a performance artifact instead of a fragile template. Then make a second pass variation. Maybe the first version is cleaner and more DJ-friendly. Maybe the second version is rougher, with an extra ghost note layer or a slightly more aggressive snare pickup. That gives you arrangement options later without rebuilding the whole section from scratch. If you want to push this into darker or heavier territory, remember this. One damaged layer often sounds heavier than 6 damaged layers. Weight comes from contrast. Keep the core break centralized and relatively clean, then let a separate texture layer carry the grit. Also, don't confuse sub-fuzz with menace. Mid-range grit usually translates better than trying to dirty up the bottom octave. A strong snare in the center, a controlled low end, and one deliberate imperfection will usually sound more dangerous than a pile of overprocessed noise. What you listen for when you're judging the final result is pretty straightforward. First, can you still identify the snare anchor on every pass? Second, does the break still read in mono? Third, does the final bar clearly point into the next section? If all three are true, you're very close. And if the section starts sounding more designed than performed, stop editing. That's a real sign. Old-school references get weaker when every slice becomes too perfect. A little imbalance is part of the magic. So here's the recap. A strong think break switch-up in Ableton Live 12 is about phrasing, hierarchy, and restraint. Choose whether the moment is a reset or an escalation. Build from one break source. Lock the groove. Carve the low end early. Compress just enough to glue it together. Add grit where it helps the attitude. Use call and response to give the break a real internal shape. Keep the bass under control or out of the way. Automate for tension, not clutter. And always check the return into the next phrase. If you do it right, the track doesn't just get busier. It briefly opens up into a more nervous, broken, alive pocket, then comes back with more impact than before. That's the move. Now take the 50-minute practice challenge. Build a 4-bar think break switch up with one break, one bass layer, and only stock Ableton devices. Make one version with the bass out, one with a restrained bass pulse, and a final 1-bar return into the drop. Then push it further and make 2 bounces, one clean and one rough. Keep asking yourself whether the snare still leads, whether the low end stays clean, and whether the last bar points clearly into the next section.